Last week I read a chapter out of the book of James and let you go. Shocked y'all. Be honest with you tonight, which that's what you want me to be, is honest. I really wanted to preach something else. But God said that he wanted me to go to James chapter 2. I'm not going to just let you out after I read the 26 verses that are there. There's a few things that I want to share tonight. I'd like to ask you the question, those of you that were here last Sunday night when I read James 1 and let you go, if that in the process of the time that has gone from then till now, if you have been ministered to by the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit preached a message to you from that chapter, did you dwell on it? Did you think about it? Because there's a lot in there that could have, is vital. A lot of stuff in there that's vital. And I hope that you took it and allowed the Holy Spirit to preach a message directly to your heart from that passage. Tonight, though, James chapter 2, it doesn't seem to me like he covers as much territory in chapter 2 as he does in chapter 1. Not to say that you can't come up with that many different messages in chapter 2 as you would in chapter 1, but it seems like in chapter 2, which I'm not real convinced that it's a good division, but that's okay. He seems to zero in on something, maybe branching out a little bit, but he zeroes in on some specifics that have to do with a Christian's life. You say, well, that's what it was in James 1. Well, I believe he has some specifics here, though, that just carry a same similar thread in going through it. Let me begin here with verse number 1. Follow along if you have your Bible open or your digital Bible available to you. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here as well. I really like other translations on this verse because this sounds funny. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just jumps off the page at me. Something's wrong here, but you have to understand what he's saying, how he's saying it. So let's take notice of that here in just a little bit. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and got in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing or the rich clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I need to go back and read verse 9 again. I don't think we got it. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Wow. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Boy, that's incredible too. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him or them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now there is a lot in there, as you can believe it as you read it, follow through with it there. But there is something that is, seems to be specific that he's talking about. Maybe you disagree with me, and that's okay. But as I read this chapter, and as I've read this chapter a number of times here of late, it seems to me that the specific thing that James is talking about in this passage is that of works. Doing something. I can even find it here in these first few verses, even though I mentioned that verse number one kind of jumps off, that one phrase jumps off the page at me. And I'm not going to go into all of the other, a bunch of other translations or any other translations, but what he's simply saying is that if we are to have the spirit and the mind of Christ, we will not have a spirit of respecters of persons, where we judge somebody according to their apparel and set them on a high pedestal, and somebody who is a vile clothing or dirty, they haven't had a bath in a month, and we put them down below us under our footstool. That kind of thing is not the spirit of Christ. He is telling us in that passage that we are to treat everybody how? The bottom line is that we are to treat them all with love. We are to treat them all with love. Love, that he even mentions that here in this passage. You'll find it that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we do that, we do well. Could I be so bold tonight to say that there are times that we say something or do something to somebody else, not even realizing, not even really putting it into our thoughts, that we don't want somebody doing us that way? I think it's just a week or two ago I brushed over, I mentioned the golden rule, do unto others what we want others to do unto us. That's something that quite often we fail to remember when it's us doing the works. I would love to get specific tonight. But whenever I love to get specific, I have a pretty good notion that I'm getting into the flesh, venturing away from the spirit. So is it enough said this evening that when we're looking at this and understanding when he's talking about our works and our life as a Christian, that we do our best to make sure that what we're doing to somebody else, we're okay with somebody doing that to us? You know, you've heard the statement, and it goes along here somewhat. You've heard the statement that There's nothing that I can do to gain eternal life. Because we believe that we cannot save ourselves. It's true in the sense, that statement is true in the sense that Jesus has paid the price of our sins, or the penalty of our sins. He has paid that for us. He has purchased us. Where the wages of sin is death, He has provided the gift of God, which is eternal life. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't change that. We can't make it better. We can't make it worse. There's nothing that we can do. And if it wasn't for the sacrifice of the Son of God on Calvary, then we would be eternally lost. There is nothing that we can do to pay for our sin debt. Even though Jesus paid it all, you and I can't go and attempt to pay it in order to attain eternal life or to gain eternal life. We can't. But the negative side, or the untrue side of that statement that there's nothing that I can do to gain eternal life, is that there are four things, at least that I can list, that you and I must do. Not one of them and forget the other three, but they all four combine together into form this thing of works. The first thing that we have to do is to confess our sins. We're not going to get to heaven any other way except through the confession of our sins. The second thing that we must do to gain heaven, to be eternally saved, is... Did you hear me say the second thing? It's not one in itself. But it's the second thing. It's combined with the first one. The second thing is that we walk in the light. We have to be obedient. There's no room for disobedience. So then we come to the third thing, not separate of itself, but combined with one and two. The third thing that I can list as a work that we must do, that we can do, is to confess Him before others. Confess Him before others. You have an opportunity to express and to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and His love, and to tell somebody else about what He's done for you. How He has changed your life. We're under obligation to do that. Not only are we under obligation, it ought to be something of a joy to share that testimony. Now, we're not going to get to heaven just by sharing Jesus Christ. We have to confess our sins. We have to walk in the light. We have to confess Him before others. There are three of them together, tied together here that we have to do. The fourth thing, again, it's not on its own. It doesn't stand by itself. But it's one of these things that we can do. What have I missed? Oh, I missed paying our tithes. That's something the preacher's got to hit. No, that's not what I'm hitting. That's not what I'm going on there. That would fall under obedience, under walking in the light. Well, you got to dress. Well, we've got to make sure that we have dress in there, don't we? Because that's important. That's important. But that falls under walking in the light. What else have I missed? Can anybody think of something that I've missed? What could it possibly be, the fourth thing that could fall into this thing of something that you and I must do, something that you and I have to do, something that we cannot get away from if we're going to make it to heaven? Confess our sins, walk in the light, confess Him before others. What could possibly be that fourth thing? Let me give it to you. You're thinking, the wheels the gears are turning. How about love God with our whole heart, mind, and spirit, and soul? Our strength, everything about us, we love God. And Jesus doesn't separate the two of them. And love our neighbor. Not just love our neighbor, but love our neighbor as ourselves. That comes back up here to the first part of this chapter. And so we see this thing all the way through, this works thing that is going all the way through here, and he's trying to get us to the point where we can come down to the very last verse, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What kind of works are we doing? Confess our sins, walk in the light, confess him before others, love God with my entire being, and love my neighbor as myself. When we love others the way we love ourselves, then the first part of this thing of being a respecter of person is not necessary for us to even have to deal with, because we're loving people. And if we have the mind of Christ, if we have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, then what we have is a balance in our love to whoever it is that we come in contact. Whether they're rich, whether they're poor. Whether they've loaded themselves down after a good shower or a good soaking bath with a pretty aroma, or that they have that aroma of no shower for bath for a month. Say, preacher, I have a hard time hugging somebody that smells that bad. It really upsets my stomach. I can understand that. I really don't want to do that, because that's going to tarnish my suit. That's going to put a stain on my white shirt. That's going to mark me as somebody beneath me. There's a lot of things that we can talk about and bring into this. Loving our neighbors. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Doing unto others what we want them to do unto us. So there is something that you and I must do. There are some works that we must accomplish. And if we do those four, I believe that we fulfill what James is talking about in chapter 4 or chapter 2. Confess our sins, walk in the light, confess him before others, and love God with all of our being, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Not one separately that you can pull out, but the combination of all four of them working together in our life, working for Jesus Christ. Show you my faith by my works. It plays out in my life. Let's stand together.